Hour number two of VSiN's Primetime Action on a Tuesday night. That's right, I got the day right. It's Gil Alexander, Matt Brown, Danielle Alvari, Kelly Bidlin. This is where we typically live bet sports, though there's only two games on the NBA slate, and neither have tipped off yet. They're about to. A bunch of hockey, about six games going on in hockey right now, and a whole bunch of college basketball. Kelly, one more update from both hockey and college hoops.
Let's hit the NHL first. End of two in New York. Devils up on the Rangers 4-2. Devils minus 900 live, plus 575 coming back the other way. 8.5 live total in that game. Blackhawks and Panthers tied at 3, beginning of the third period. There, still no live number posted. Flyers up on the Sabres, 1-0 beginning of the third period. Flyers minus 450 live, plus 340 coming back the other way. Live total 3.5 in that game. Third period just getting started. Ottawa Senators up 3-2 still. Senators minus 320 live, plus 250 coming back the other way. Live total 7.5. End of the second period in Pittsburgh. Penguins and Capitals tied at 4. We talked about that one a little bit ago. Penguins minus 130 live. Even money coming back on the Capitals. 10.5 live total there. Red Wings up on the Blue Jackets. 2-1. 2 minutes to go in the second period. Red Wings minus 220. Plus 180 coming back the other way. Live total 5.5. In college basketball, Michigan still all over Maryland, 83-60, 2 minutes remaining in that game. Florida still all over Tennessee, 70-47, 2 minutes to go in that game. And Missouri about to knock off South Carolina, 80-70, 30 seconds remaining in that game. And those NBA numbers as those games are tipping off in just a few minutes here. Nuggets still holding about 10-point favorites, and 219.5 to 220.5. is the total on that game. At DraftKings, it is 10 and 220. And the Jazz and Pelicans, Jazz 6-point favorites, 217.5 is the total there at DraftKings.
Depending on which side you want, 10.5 and 6.5 at PointsBet. So if you can, you can get an extra half point if you are looking for it on the dogs.
And I'll be looking at the Jazz live. I didn't want to lay 6 tonight, but that is That's a pretty big discrepancy in talent right now with what's going on with those teams. The Pelicans have been feasting at the rim all year with Zion, Steven Adams playing well for them. About to go up against the best shot blocker in the league, Rudy Gobert. So Jazz shooting well from three. It's a game I'm going to be looking at live. I didn't want to lay a full 6, but Pelicans, they can be streaky on offense too. So hopefully they get out ahead at some point. I can lay maybe 3 or even maybe catch some points with
they
the Jazz.
They do get their full starting lineup tonight, so it'll be Ball.
Yeah, Lonzo's
Ingram,
back. Yep.
Lonzo, it'll be Zion as well as Adams, as you mentioned. So the Pelicans will have their starting five out there.
Real quick, before we talk to Eric Eager from Pro Football Focus, we talked a little bit about this on radio this morning. I don't think we did last night. You'll correct me if I'm wrong. MVP in the NBA, Bill Simmons, who is honest about having a vote on this now, still took some time on his podcast to sort of say, look, I have a vote. I can't really, you know, sway any way on this or advocate in any particular way. But, however, he sort of stumped for, you know, made a case for LeBron. And LeBron is like, what, 10-1 or 12-1 or something like that?
I had this conversation with someone the other day. Listen, LeBron James, you could make the case, could win it every single year.
Every year.
Right? And 10-1 is about as high as you're ever going to see on that kind of guy. So you want to go, you want to tell me you want to go bet LeBron James to win the MVP this year? I cannot argue with you. A friend was asking me about that the other day, an exact question. I was like, I can't argue with that bet. That's about as good of a number as you're going to get on a guy who could you could make the case for could win every year.
The words of a gentleman that I have on my show a lot, Dan Bespris, who is the host of the Fantasy NBA Today podcast, his words ring true in my head, though. He's like, Gil, they are going to bend over backwards to give it to Luka this year. It just feels that way. But they gotta play well, right? They can't suck.
And that, I mean, that's the problem right now. His team is not playing well, and
he's been fairly inconsistent.
Yeah.
Like he has monster games, and then he has, you know, average games, right? It's not like the dude that's going out there and blowing it up every single night. So, you know, he very well might do that throughout the rest of the season. And
sure.
So, and it won't matter. But I mean, you know, to date, as we sit right now, I mean, Luka's kind of up and down.
We were talking.
And if the one I would maybe throw out, if I thought the rest of the team was, is Jokic. Jokic's having an amazing season, but the rest of the team, and especially their defense, is not playing well right now.
Yeah, we're talking about how Luka looks gassed in second halves of games. He's like carrying, you know, such a big, burdened with that team. It's Gil Alexander, Matt Brown, Danielle Alvari, Kelly Bidlin. This is VSiN's Primetime Action. And we welcome in one of our favorites here. He is the Vice President of Research and Development for Pro Football Focus, co-host of the Pro Football Focus Forecast. You can follow him on Twitter at @PFF_Eric. That's Eric with a C. It's Eric Eager. How you doing, Eric?
I'm doing well, man. It's crazy to think that, you know, going into the year, you know, with all the question marks, we have only three games left, and it's a fairly big lock that they'll all happen.
Oh, part of me just died when you said that. When the night of the Super Bowl, don't you have a little part of you that's like, oh, what do I do on Sundays now? What did I used to do? Before we get into divisional round or championship games, we were just tossing around this prop that exists at BetMGM, Eric. Where will Deshaun Watson end up? Because it's bettable, we feel comfortable talking about it now. How do you feel about the whole Deshaun Watson thing? I know you have many a thought on Deshaun.
Yeah, he, despite not playing at all in the postseason, is still the third most valuable player in the NFL this year. He was worth about 3.75 wins above replacement. Given that Houston won four games total, that's a pretty big feat. Wow. He's a great player. You know, I hope, for the sake of the league, I hope Houston figures it out, because I have very little faith. Let's say they get five high draft picks in exchange for him. I have very little faith they'll turn that into anything meaningful, unfortunately. So, you know, we saw what happened when the Oilers traded Warren Moon and others. Like, they literally stopped going to games there and had to move the team to Memphis and then Nashville. I don't want to see that happen. Houston's a great city. Hopefully, you know, he can stay there, but, you know, I've heard rumors for Atlanta. I've heard rumors for Miami, obviously, because of all the capital they have. I think Miami makes the most sense in the sense that they have cap space. And if they were to trade a bunch of picks, since they have a bunch of picks, it wouldn't be like a multiple year issue for them as far as giving up capital.
Eric, of these head coaching gigs that have been filled here recently, are there any that with coaches you really liked or disliked, or what do you think so far about how these teams have been doing in the, you know, there's at least there's some new names, right? It's not all retreads.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the one that is a head scratcher to me is the Dan Campbell one, right? Because we've heard for years how, you know, Eric Bieniemy, you know, the reason he's not as well regarded is that he doesn't call plays for Andy Reid, you know, and he's just a position coach, yada, yada, yada. And he gets passed up. I know, you know, part of it, and this was the same with Brad Childress when he coached for Andy Reid as well. He didn't get his first head coaching job until the one year they weren't in the playoffs. So that might be part of it, is teams sort of panic and pick a guy who on a team who's eliminated. But that one's an interesting one for me. Brandon Staley was also one that I was not expecting. But, you know, firing Anthony Lynn was also unexpected. So the Chargers are kind of going sort of against the grain there. I like the Salah hire for the New York Jets. Normally defensive coaches are a little bit dicey, but they just need to get off the ground here. And I think he's a decent person as far as building a culture in New York.
Not to belabor the, pardon me, the coaches thing, but did you find the Chargers, as great as the Rams defense was, and Brandon Staley had a, you know, look, he had Jalen Ramsey, he has Aaron Donald. So I'm not sure how we can necessarily evaluate him. But did you find it interesting at all that the Chargers, who were rumored to have Brian Daboll as their number one choice, didn't wait like one extra week maybe to see if he was available and like made a decision for their future kind of in a snap way at all?
Yeah, it really did look desperate. And I think Staley, I mean, to your point about defense, like, there's so many variables involved in defense that it's really hard to pin it on any one person. I'm more, you know, we do have a play caller metric. Staley finished second behind Salah. Salah has had a number of years of being a defensive coordinator. He's also had a lot more changes. You know, this past season with San Francisco, they had to play without Bosa for most of the season. Sherman for much of the time. They traded Quan Alexander as well. So he's been a good play caller with a lot of different variables changed. With Staley, as you said, I mean, I was pretty impressed with the Rams defense. They did lose a lot of players this offseason, but you still have two of the best players at their position in Jalen Ramsey and Aaron Donald. You also have, you know, the benefit of what I would consider to be, you know, pretty solid players in Jordan Fuller, you know, John Johnson. But then, you know, there's a lot to like there. I'm a little bit worried now, though. Shane Steichen did a really good job as their offensive coordinator. I'm not sure that they're going to retain him. The tricky part about hiring a defensive coach is, you know, offensive coordinators, especially with young quarterbacks, if they do well, they get head coaching jobs right away. And does Herbert really strike you as sort of the guy who's going to thrive with multiple offensive coordinators during his rookie contract? My answer to that is probably no. So are the Chargers, you know, stepping on the one solid thing that they have going for them right now, which is the quarterback?
As we look ahead to this weekend, Bucks and Packers are sitting about 3.5, depending on the book you get it at. Bills and Chiefs, 3 across the board, 53.5 in that one, 50.5 in the first one. Let's start with the NFC here. And you take a look, and, you know, I mean, the Bucks team over the last, you know, month and a half of the season, defense kind of, after the bye week, essentially, defense kind of regrouped from where we saw at the beginning of the year and started to play really well. I think maybe Tom Brady was having this amazingly awesome season underneath our noses here, which I failed to really pick up on, you know, until the latter half of the season with him. And of course, you know, no doubt as to what Aaron Rodgers has done with this team. You know, I feel like this game is a little bit more of a coin toss maybe than people are giving this thing credit for whenever you do take into account the defense that the Bucks are going to put on the field here. And you know, look, I understand that there's some Antonio Brown injury stuff that we're going to have to be monitoring. If he's not out there, that certainly is at least one weapon taken away from the Bucks team here. But, you know, 3.5, I mean, there's a lot of 3.5 still available out there. Is that disrespecting this Bucks team a little bit, or do you think that that's fair?
Yeah, I kind of disagree. I mean, I really do. I mean, I took some Tampa at +4 just because I have a lot of exposure to the Packers, you know, for the NFC and for the Super Bowl. But as far as like when you, I think this number should be more like 3.5, maybe even out to 4. The Packers have the best player in the NFL at quarterback, wide receiver, center, cornerback, and safety this year. Like, they're a juggernaut. You know, Matt LaFleur, I think, laps Bruce Arians, who I think we talked about last, you know, the last few weeks. It's like Bruce Arians probably the worst head coach left in the NFL right now in the playoffs. So that's, again, one where, you know, they got by last week on turnovers and some luck. But Arians certainly, I don't think, coached a great game. So while I obviously respect Brady here. He's, you know, he's LeBron-like in terms of defying postseason odds, right? Like, they're almost never properly handicapped by the marketplace, you know, back to his New England days. But in this particular one, you know, I kind of like Rodgers laying the points, especially if you can get a 3 that's priced anywhere close to like 115 or lower.
I agree about Matt LaFleur too. I'm tired of not mentioning him when we talk about the great coaches. What a great game plan this past week. Always seems to have the beginning of games scripted well. I'm all in on Green Bay in this myself. As far as the AFC, the Chiefs and the Bills, we don't know yet if it's Patrick Mahomes. Before you get to that game, let me just ask you about the end of the Chiefs-Browns this past week. I put out a tweet at the time where I thought Andy Reid was all things there. He was both a lunatic on second and third downs, and then he was perhaps rightfully a hero because it worked out for him on fourth. We can debate, you know, if that's an incomplete pass, God help the narrative, it's completely different. But I thought what happened on second and third downs was just mind-boggling and a quick reminder that if you don't have the cheat code that is Patrick Mahomes, you remember, you're like, oh yeah, this is Andy Reid, I forgot. He does these kinds of things. How did you view the end of that game? And how do you approach this one? Even if Mahomes plays, maybe we're focused on the wrong thing. Maybe it's the toe we should be focused on.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a Chiefs fan. I'm wearing the shirt right now. I went through every single last emotion during that time. I was, you know, sort of negotiating, okay, well, if they punt it with 1:20 left on the clock, can their defense get another stop? You know, Cleveland won't have any timeouts. I wasn't even – and then – The great thing about it was, to me, was there's 10 other guys on that offense who are great, right? And Alex Smith, for example, in 2017 led the NFL in passer rating. You know, I think what he was doing was saying, look, I'm going to lean on the other 10 guys. But it was you know, it was crazy, right? Like, he threw an interception that was about as ill-advised as it gets.
Yeah.
They did pick up, you know, there was one of those things where there was like about third and short, and they picked up on a throw to Daryl Williams. By the way, Andy Reid playing Daryl Williams over Le'Veon Bell because he's the better player was also part of the Reid masterclass of that game. But he throws to Daryl Williams. Daryl Williams stays in bounds. Now you basically need one more first down. And on first down, they run the ball. They make them take the timeout. On second down, one of the sneaky things about Henny was took a sack at the first sign of pressure, which, again, that's a well-coached player because you know that the sort of the clock drains down a little bit, and you give yourself a better chance to win there.
What's amazing about that, though, Eric, if I could interrupt for a second, what's amazing about that is you've spun that to it was well-coached, and I watched it completely differently and was like, oh my God, he got bailed out by the sack.
Yeah. No, I mean, the thing about it is, though, when you watch that entire game, yeah, and I asked, you know, my friend who works for the, like, I got a buddy who works for the Chiefs, is like, okay, what do you think of this game? I go, my only text message to him back was, who's going to cover Kelsey? And the whole game, no one could cover Kelsey, and including a really good third down throw by Henny. And it was like, so I understand, like, trying to get an easy throw for Henny. It wasn't there. Takes a sack. Now, I was surprised they threw on the third down. But he was clearly instructed, if there's nothing open, get down and get the thing to 120 or whatever. And then the craziest, again, the biggest play, though, obviously set up by that run, was the fact that they had lulled the Cleveland defense to sleep, thinking they were going to do what every team does, which is, you know, drain the clock down, do a hard count, call a timeout, punt, and he snaps the ball. Tyreek Hill gives that slot corner who had no shot the sauce, and he's wide open, and Henny hits him, and it's, you know, it's crazy. But I agree with you. There's some parts there where it's like Belichick against the Colts in 09, where if one of those plays doesn't work, he's the GOAT.
Yeah. How do you see the AFC Championship then?
I'm similar on Kansas City as far as exposure with Green Bay. I think the chance that Mahomes doesn't play is high enough where three has value for the Buffalo Bills. I think, you know, this is the most 2020 statement of all time, but this game really does come down to how well Josh Allen plays. Assuming Mahomes plays well, and assuming he plays, Allen can play well enough, I think, to give the Chiefs, even at full strength, the run for their money. And to me, that's where the handicap is. I've been really impressed with him this year. I thought last week, you know, Dable did a really good job of calling plays despite Allen's like inaccuracy and despite the wind and everything. They got out of it with a win, I think, kind of luckily. The Chiefs defense is exploitable. I think they're a little bit better than the Bills on that side of the ball, but it's a tough one for me. I think three is the right number. The only reason I grab Buffalo is to hedge against some Kansas City futures and the possibility that there is, no Mahomes on Sunday, which I still think is real.
Yeah, that was the thing with me. That it got to 3.5 here at a book in Vegas, and I jumped all over it on the Bills because it was like everybody was watching at home just became a Twitter doctor. It was like, no, he's going to play for sure. Don't worry about it. He's going to be out there. And when this thing ran to 3.5, I'm like, it's not his choice. It's not the Chiefs' choice. At the end of the day, like, there has to be an independent guy come in and say that it's okay for him to play in this game. And so it was wacky to me that everyone just assumed that he's definitely going to be out there a week later.
I think you said it really well, is that it's not the Chiefs' choice, you know, and we can, you know, put on our tinfoil hat and say the NFL has, you know, papered over COVID and they'll paper over a concussion here. But like, I think for the long-term viability of the league, obviously, you know, Mahomes, if he's going to play, he better be healthy. He better be sufficiently healthy. I don't think the league is really going to want to risk that. I would put it probably at, you know, 85-15 that he plays. But that 15%, I mean, you're talking about an NFL 3, that's 8-9%. It's almost a no-brainer to take it because obviously I think if they announce sometime midweek that Henny's playing, this number is getting out to 3.5 Buffalo in no time.
Eric, good luck with your fanhood of the Chiefs this weekend and a quest for a second straight Super Bowl title, sir.
Thanks, guys. Hopefully it'll be a fun weekend, but no matter who wins, it'll be a great time. And there isn't one of these four possible Super Bowls that isn't going to be great.
Oh, it's true. You know, the lines themselves, all very short. Eric Eager from Pro Football Focus, the Executive Director of Research and Development. Data Scientist, Mateo. Data Scientist. It's a great title.
No one's ever going to call me a scientist of anything.
Well, some things.
I've never been a scientist.
Well, let's not shortchange yourself. You're a scientist of some random stuff.
This thing had gotten to 2.5 at points today, Gil, and it's back up to 3. But I think there were some people who go, "Wait, maybe was I a little too quick to go ahead and just assume that Patrick Mahomes is going to be playing
this was
in this game."
The first question I asked Chrissy on Guessing Lines on Monday morning, because I got in debates with my buddy E. Like, he was adamant, "Oh, Gil, you don't know what you're talking about. It's like -1,000 that Mahomes plays." How do you know that?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think we all think he probably will, but yes, right. It's exactly that.
There
it's
have been guys who missed games for concussions. I mean, like, this is not out of the ordinary for a dude to have to miss a game because of a concussion.
By the way, Mahomes doesn't play. You think I'm going to get a text that says you were right? Nope.
No.
Not a chance. It never happened.
The Packers, Eric was talking about, I saw at the Westgate today, it went to 3 flat. I did grab the Packers at 3 flat today.
Yeah. Packers are
I like this. We're going to be on opposite sides on this one. I like we're on opposite sides because I typically win those.
Oh, listen to this, dude. Jeez. All right. Teaser Tuesday coming up. And, NBA Top Shots. We got to talk about that coming up on VSiN's Primetime Action.
Download the DraftKings Casino app now and use promo code VSiN to get a deposit bonus up to $1,500. DraftKings Casino has hundreds of ways to play. Choose from slots, blackjack, roulette, and so much more. DraftKings Casino is U.S.-based, making it safe, secure, and reliable. You can deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. If you or somebody you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Gil.
Danielle.
Yes.
No bets still? No? Nothing?
Oh, I made some hockey bets.
Oh, you did?
I did.
What'd you do?
For a game that hasn't started yet, the Avalanche Kings later on tonight.
Walk me through that. How'd you get there?
I believe they're favored to win the entire thing. They're a very good team. They've been scoring a lot of goals so far. And a lot of these overs in general for the hockey games have been hitting. So it's kind of just finding which ones are going to hit. And I think that the Avalanche have the best shot here because it looks like they kind of, from what I could read, have a pretty big mismatch with the LA Kings tonight. So
you went over on this?
Yeah, over 6 goals.
Over 6 goals?
Yeah.
Weren't the Kings the team that beat somebody 8-0 the other night?
I believe it was the Avalanche did that.
Was it the Avalanche did that? Yeah. Right. I was betting on that.
Yeah, that was. It was didn't even look like a hockey score.
It was like 1-0 or 2-0, and then all of a sudden finished it was 8-0. Blitzkrieg.
That's wild.
Over by themselves.
Nothing for me yet, Gil. But the Pelicans are up early on the Jazz. I'm going to be keeping my eye on this one. It's 20-18 right now. They just went to a commercial timeout. Jazz laying 4.5 live, 220.5 is the total there. I was talking a little bit before the game about the 3-point shooting. Just saw this note. The Jazz have a league high 43.2% of their points come from behind the line. The Pelicans give up a league high 16 threes a game and also a league high with 42.3 attempts a game. So we've talked before about, you know, not just 3-point shooting, but it's how do you guard it too. And this is best versus the worst here tonight.
So you are waiting, in that spirit, for the Jazz to fall behind here and then jump in on the Jazz.
Yep.
That's a great, what you just discussed right there is a great NBA handicapping tenet. Because oftentimes you will get, like if the Pels are playing a team that is bad from behind the arc, it completely mitigates their weakness.
Right, and again, what they do well is attack at the rim.
Right.
But you got Rudy Gobert sitting there for the Jazz. He'll welcome everything down low.
So we are big Pelican fans here early.
Big Pelican fans
early. Come on,
if
Pels.
You listen to this show and you don't understand live betting, hopefully we explain it well enough. But yes, we are big Pelicans fans early, and then we will be huge Jazz fans.
Because we will have jumped in.
That's right.
I like
Jokic
that.
In the middle of one of those games already.
Dude, he's amazing.
He's got 13-2-1-1 already in the first quarter with 3:35 left in the first.
So. We were texting about AD's line last
night. I just
remembered
that, too. Yeah, I got to pull that back up. Anthony Davis. All I saw early in that game was I felt like he wasn't playing well because I did the classic approach of just looked at how many points he had.
Yeah.
And, no, he went and filled it up last night. That was 17 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals, 3 blocks. And, Gil, as you texted to me, only one turnover. Sometimes they're going to need him to score. Sometimes if he can do that kind of stuff, that's great. This is the Lakers. I'm sorry, are still the team to beat for me in the league, and I don't think it's that close.
He's not fair.
Oh no!
What was that?
What
was the playoff game? You'll remember this, Kelly. Not me. In the bubble where he hit the 3-point buzzer beater. Do you remember that? And we were just like, you couldn't
even. We were here for that one.
We were just like, what do you do?
Yeah,
like,
what are you supposed to do? Right? Yeah, and it was, you can't guard it. You can't guard that.
He's 11 feet tall shooting from the stands.
Kelly's least favorite player, Donovan Mitchell, has 10 early points.
Why you hate Donovan Mitchell, man?
He hates Donovan Mitchell.
I made one comment on the air here once, Gil. I thought he was a little overrated. I still think he is a little
And yet, bit. Kelly, that's not your worst take of all time.
No,
is it?
It's not. It's not.
Would you like to share with the people what it is? Would you like to share with the people?
Almost the 10-year anniversary of, we were talking about Chris Singleton out of Florida State yesterday. Almost 10-year anniversary of my freezing cold take tweet of me saying that Chris Singleton will be far better than Kawhi Leonard in the NBA before the draft when they got
that didn't play out.
And this is preserved how for in
The freezing cold takes Twitter account. If you're not following, it's fantastic. And you know, there's a lot of people way more famous than me that get captured on there. And
so
but every like May 11th or something, I forget the date on it, that gets retweeted with a big anniversary on it.
How did he find it? Do you know this person? They just found you randomly.
Yeah, it was. He found me randomly, but he ended up. He started that account. Lives in South Florida, so we ended up having him on the radio show back in South Florida. Like he always tells me it's one of his favorite ones of all time. He gets the most responses.
So, by the way, I thought Chris Singleton was going to be awesome too.
I thought he was going to be, and they were comparable players. I was telling Gil this yesterday. It's just people ask me why I don't delete it all the time. I'm like, it's so entertaining to see the responses you get.
Yeah.
10 years later, when people are telling you to go die and you don't deserve to have the job you have.
You should die.
You should die.
You're like, I'll take that into consideration. Right. Maybe I should die. Or not. We'll come back. Teaser Tuesdays. Oh, NBA Top Shot next. Wait till you hear this.
If you're betting $22 hoping that meaningless free throw rims out or begging for 2 goals and extra time to hit that miracle 4-team parlay, we have a suggestion. Take $22 and invest it in your sports betting success. Become a VSiN All Access member today and get all of our expert VSiN betting analysis for less than $22 per month. Daily emails, 24/7 video access, point spread weekly, and betting 101 strategy guides. It's everything you need to increase your sports betting IQ. So place a bet on yourself right now. Start your free trial today at vsin.com/subscribe. Gil?
All right. What do you get when you intersect or when you mix collectibles and blockchain? What do you get? Something so modern that it makes me feel like I'm 1,000 years old because I just cannot wrap my brain around this. It's called NBA Top Shot. Matt, tell us what that is. Por favor.
Well, to the best of my ability.
Okay, please.
Yeah,
yes.
I mean, like, to the best of my ability.
It's pretty complicated. I read multiple articles about it last night, and
Then you go, Kelly Dillon.
I would say that it is a mix of collectibles. So think of a trading card collectibles that are now in video form. The NBA is selling these in video highlight form that you can get of each individual player. So think of owning a Michael Jordan rookie card or whatever, you could now get a Ja Morant rookie moment, is what I think they're calling them, is moments.
Yes.
So now this, what you can do with these is you can take these to a then marketplace like you would do with kind of any kind of cryptocurrency, and they are basically you could figure out how limited edition they are, just like you would with baseball cards.
Because they're numbered.
And stuff, exactly.
And whatever. So it's like, yeah.
What do you mean they're numbered?
So you might get one of seven, like there's only 70 of those, oh. Or maybe there's only three of those, so you get one of three, or there are, and they're also one of ones and things like that.
Like a baseball card.
Right, exactly. Thing. Exactly, except for you might not, you know, a lot of times with the older baseball cards, some of them are still popping up out of nowhere occasionally, right?
But these. Well, that's what happened to the King Griffey Jr. rookie card, right? So, like, that was where this all really started. So, if you remember the popular King Griffey Jr. Upper Deck rookie card, and it was like the first card in a while that was like the card to own.
It was the number one card of like a 600-700 card set.
Yeah.
Upper Deck's original issuing, like 89, I think.
And it was the card to own. It skyrocketed in value. And what Upper Deck did at the time, they were like, oh, everyone wants this card?
Right.
Let's just print a whole bunch more of these.
Completely flooded the market.
And just wiped out all the value, though. So now a lot of these cards, what they do is there's numbers on them so that you do know, like, okay, I have one of 30 of these that's ever made, or one of 10 of these that was ever made, et cetera, et cetera. So, like, they can't do that anymore, essentially, with these new cards that come
out. Supposedly, right. They can't do that anymore.
And so that's what they're doing with these digital moments as well, is they're numbering them so you know that you have number three of 10 or whatever.
I got questions.
Yeah.
So
we maybe have answers.
Yeah, maybe we have answers.
To the best of my ability.
I would encourage people, though, if you're into collectibles of any kind, or if you're into crypto of any kind, which I'm not really. I mean, I did, of course, I collected cards when I was younger, but really don't do anything more with that. I did find it interesting to read about, though, as someone who's maybe been intrigued by cryptocurrency stuff in the past, but I've never done anything with it. This is for, like, sports simpletons like myself that's all they care about. It's like, oh, this is my way to get into crypto.
So NBA Top Shot, by the way, this was as of late December. They've seen $5 million plus spent on its platform this year, 65% direct sales of highlight packs. They've had 95,000 packs sold, plus 95,000 plus. 35% marketplace volume from secondary market trading between people who already have the highlights. But now help me out. Let's say I buy a Zion dunk. He just dunked the ball. Let's say I buy that. You can still go to YouTube and watch it. Like, anybody can watch it. The NBA still owns all this stuff. It's not like you own the highlight for real.
Correct. But I guess what I would compare it to is with baseball cards. Like, if I just went and if I got a really high quality picture of the exact same moment of what the card's from and went to a printer, right. Like, it's still a fraud, right? It might look exactly like it, but the NBA has put a stamp of approval.
Yeah, this is an officially licensed product in partnership with the NBA, and that basically is what gives it value, right? Like, so that is what gives it value, is the fact that it's officially licensed and that it's it is this digital asset.
You know a couple sharp bettors who are all in on this.
Two of the sharpest guys I know, and I've known them for a decade now. And dudes have made, and this is not like millions of dollars. Like, they are multimillionaires.
Not on this, but on other things.
Between sports betting and poker and DFS and all the stuff like that, right? Like, they're multimillionaires, and they are in on this, and they look at it as like basically the future. They say you have to step out from what we know and look at the generation below us. Correct. And even below that, right? Yes. Whereas we're like, what do you mean? Like, I can't hold it, I can't touch it, I can't put it on my wall. Whereas they grew up with everything being on their phone.
You can put it on your Facebook wall, perhaps.
Everything being on their computer. Yeah, I mean, like, everything's been digital to them since they were coming up,
right? But isn't there a little slice of that that feels like, yes, they're the smart ones, they're able to do that, but somebody down the line is going to get screwed by all this?
Now you're Scottish?
No, I'm Scottish.
Okay.
In what sense?
Just that, I don't know. I'm just thinking, in the end, the first, there's two ways to look at it. The first people in are the smartest. I had Drew Dinsick on from the Deep Dive podcast. He was talking about it should be the opposite. Like, why the people who are in now, why would they be so in a rush to get now? It's the fifth generation.
So, okay. So now I understand your question. This was something I was reading a bit about last night, Matt, and I think even with some of the guys that you know, where they perfectly admit it. Listen, it's, you know, a lot of these guys are gamblers, DFS players. It's a gamble. They think they're getting in on a market early.
Yes, they do.
That's going to explode. But absolutely, this is something that could completely be nothing in a year from now. Yeah, so they admitted that. They were, listen, if you're a person who's not used to risk and gambling in different markets and different things you do in life, this is not for you. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you are getting in on an unproven commodity right now. Like, right. It is an unproven entity that a lot of these people are assuming will be something, but have no proof whatsoever that it will actually be something.
Fascinating. Yeah,
Isaiah, who's our associate producer and directing tonight, he got in on this last week a little bit. Blew my mind when he first showed me, Gil. And then what did he buy? He's buying some of the lower level stuff, but just checking it out.
Well, that's the target generation, right?
Yeah, younger. Mortgage generation. Yeah. And he just let me know UFC ones are coming soon, apparently.
Huh? Oh, look, all of a sudden, Matt's like...
No, I like the basketball ones better, but I mean, you know what? I'm going to buy some for next week. We're going to come on here, we're going to talk about my top shots.
There we go.
VSiN should do that, like, best moments in VSiN history.
Me falling out of my chair, checking live scores.
Yeah, you get the Bidlin falling out of the chair one? We'll come back. Teaser Tuesday on the way at VSiN's Primetime Action.